You know your local, you know your city, you know your national stats, but should you know your global stats when it comes to recruiting? That's what we're talking about today on Brokerpreneur Podcast. Running a brokerage is hard work. So whether you're focused on building your own sales pipeline, hiring the best agents, leveling up your team's production, or protecting culture you've built, you're in the right place. Real estate brings the challenges, and we share the solution. Welcome to the show dedicated to broker entrepreneurs. Welcome to the Brokerpreneur Podcast. Hey guys, Dr. Ben here. Another episode of Brokerpreneur Podcast. I'm here with the brain.
Pinky and the brain. That's everything.
What are we doing today, brain?
You know, we're going to talk about the global real estate market and how to take it over.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that cartoon?
No, I was a little too old for that.
You're a little bit too old. I didn't know you had kids, right?
So yeah.
You know, every episode, Pinky would say, what are we going to do today, brain?
Oh, yeah, I know that part, yeah.
Same thing we do every day, Pinky.
We're going to take over the world.
Take over the world. Yep. So, Matt, tell us about what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so how much should you know about the global market whenever it comes to recruiting, right? Should you know a whole bunch about it or should you not know a whole bunch about it? It doesn't not matter. We're going to talk about why that does or doesn't matter when it comes to recruiting.
Yeah, I love that, guys. Before we get started, make sure you go to the links in the description below. Register for Brokerpreneur Not So Secret Society. It is a free mastermind that Matt and I do from 12 to 1 Eastern Standard Time every single Friday. It's like I said, it's free to attend. Brokers from across the country, podcast listeners, you name it, we come together and we talk about different strategies on how to grow real estate brokerages, as well as break bread and just have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs as well. We'd love to see you there. All right, Matt. So
we figuratively break bread. We don't actually eat while
It's figurative, but
we break mental bread.
Yeah, exactly. Maples are having bread.
Yeah.
So we teach you how to make bread.
Right, there you go.
And so global, I'm just gonna be honest with you, right? When I was an agent, and I didn't look at anything global.
Right.
Right, like I wasn't like, man, what's real estate like over in Angola, where my father-in-law was for a little bit.
Right.
What's the point?
Yeah, I got you. Because when it does matter to you, if you're not an option that you've been putting that information out, then it's too late to show up to the party. That's why. Gotcha. So let's use you as an example.
Yeah, please. Okay?
All right. So you came in, you didn't have a sphere of influence. You struggled with, what to do in the very beginning and then turned around in your first year and made, $8 million, right?
Right.
Average sales price, $350 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you came in and you just kicked ass and took names, right? Which is absolutely fantastic. But somewhere along the line, you would have been sitting around and the Florida Association of Realtors magazine would have come out or one of your buyer clients would have come in, or you would have been, paying for leads and this lead came in and it was somebody that was internationally and you're like, holy crap, is there a market for that? And if the broker you're with had not had any conversations with you about it, and all of a sudden somebody else is talking about that, how to generate that business, right? Because Florida Association of Realtors talks about, how to get business internationally, okay? However, if there was a broker in the market that was like, oh yeah, we have an international presence. If you want your listings to get out more than, to people that are buying in this area and all that kind of stuff, like, we're in Tampa, right? So a lot of people from Canada buy in Tampa, especially in Clearwater, right? And so if I was putting things like that out on a regular basis and all of a sudden you get a client from Canada and you're like, wait a minute, didn't Matt, I think that one broker with that one company, put some information out every now and again about how many, the three things you need to know when you're negotiating with Canadians on their listing or whatever, yeah. Right?
Matt very puts, specific article.
Right, very specific article. But you knew that I was putting that stuff out and you're like, okay, I want to dip into that market. You would start paying a little bit more attention.
Absolutely.
Okay? You would go to where the data was.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So now with that being said, if I was in Ocala, Florida, which some people know where Ocala, Florida is, right? It's the horse capital of the world, but it's also the sticks, okay?
Horse capital of the world.
It absolutely is.
That's a different podcast.
Oh, the guy from the guy from Kentucky. I got it. I got it. Okay.
Podcast, but go ahead. I'm not even listening anymore.
Right. He's horse tuned me out. That's funny. So but it's in the sticks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and so if the brokers there are all talking about you know, how to bring in clients from Canada, right? That's not going to be where they're going.
Right.
However, if they're talking about in that market, how to get more people, you know, how to sell more horse farms or how to sell large tracts and acreage. And this is our history of selling large tracts and acreage. That's going to appeal to that clientele. So when we're talking about a global market, isn't relevant where you're at. If it's not relevant where you're at, don't try to make it relevant where you are.
Gotcha.
But as a broker, you need to look first and you need to pay attention to see if it is relevant where you're at. Don't get lost and think it's not, and it actually be very relevant where you are.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That does make sense. You know, I've actually, you know, now that you say that, I actually, you know, spoke with a lot of agents who were in my market, and, you know, we'll do a, you know, what they call it, like an editorial at the, you know, at the end, like fixing. I didn't make $8 million. I sold $8 million.
Did I say that? Did I say you made $8
million? Yeah, I was okay. Like, whatever, man, we'd be partying. But she specifically, and I'm not going to name any names or anything, she specifically did a tremendous amount of business, if not all of her business, mm-hmm. Overseas.
Yep.
In an Asian country. I can't remember which one it was, but mm-hmm. And
yeah, the same agent I'm thinking about was China.
Yeah. And so I was like, man, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought, like, you know, and that was like when WhatsApp was like just coming out.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, she's doing so much business through that, and it was just a really cool thing. You know, I was, again, I was hyper local with what I was doing, mm-hmm. and it was just cool to see that different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you know, I could see, like, as a, you know, if a broker was very interested in that aspect, that'd be a really cool niche. You know, even inside.
Oh, that person was at a brokerage and moved to a brokerage, and was at a brokerage that did facilitate things like Juai and all that kind of stuff, right? So and they push that message.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why she ended up where she ended up, was because that was all connected. So that's part of the point of this.
Yeah.
From a recruiting standpoint, have those conversations global if you have a market that is global.
Yeah.
Okay, but if that's not the market, I'm not trying to talk anybody into going global on things when it doesn't matter for them.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But getting back to horses, I'm mm-hmm. joking. I'm a broker, and you know how to do it. I'm like, man, I've never looked at anything global. I've never sold anything mm-hmm. To, you know, maybe someone overseas, or, you know, not even sure the paperwork that would go along with it.
Right.
Right. Do they tune out of this episode?
No, here's what I would take a look at. And I wouldn't spend a tremendous amount of, so I would spend zero time if you don't have those people in your market.
Yeah.
So you've never heard me say this before. Go ahead and turn this episode off.
Yeah.
Okay. If you know that there's no global market, or if you don't have any desire to deal with people from a global market, I'd turn this episode off. If you're still here, it's smart for you to be listening.
Yes.
And here's the reason why. Because the market is getting more global, period.
Yeah.
And don't be left out, right? You might be just trying to get by until it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get by for long enough and get out of real estate, and then it doesn't matter. But it's coming at a really quick pace.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and whenever I say in a global market, you know, a good place to start on this was kind of your question just a second ago, is, you know, how do I tune into this? Basically, I would start at my state association, I'd start at my local association, I'd start at the National Association of Realtors. They have a lot of resources available on all of this, so I would start digging into that just a little bit. If I'm trying to determine whether it matters in the market that I'm in, I would go to my local association, and I would take a look around and see if there were any groups or anything along that line that were globally based. Like, is there an international marketing group that's in your association, or is there, you know, someone that teaches, you know, how to have better cultural connections with people when it comes to negotiations? Is there a class that's taught on a regular basis at your board office with all of that? I would call the board office and I would just check into that. And whenever you do that, pay attention to how many people are going to those classes. Because if you call up and say, hey, yeah, you know, I was thinking about taking a class. I see there's a class on international negotiations here. I was thinking about taking that class. Does that class ever fill up? And they're like, no, we usually have to cancel it. Well, that's completely different than, yes, we start the class and within a day it's full. Okay, look out. You might be late to the party at that point. Okay. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are things that you just kind of have to pay attention to, right? And then decide whether it's a good fit for you or not.
Yeah, I would have to think that it is... that if you're like, you know, bilingual or you speak multiple languages, that'd be a pretty good little niche to get into.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, not everybody is, obviously. I speak Kentucky and English.
Right. I gotcha. That means you speak horse and English?
Yeah, exactly. And so, Is there an international association of realtors? I know we have, you know, like, no.
I'm sure there is, but I don't know much of anything about it. And I'm sure there's some other associations that are very culturally based.
Yeah.
Like specific culturally based.
Gotcha.
But as far as one that is generically everywhere, no, I don't think so. There was a push for an international MLS, which didn't go very far.
Okay.
But now most large, especially franchise sites, have the ability of you being able to go in and click the button and it translates the site for you.
Yes, for sure.
And so, you know, when that started happening, that should have been eye-opening for a lot of people, yeah. Right? So there are a lot of systems that are acknowledging that the economy is a more global economy than it has historically been.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason I brought that up a second ago, you know, as far as, you know, speaking multiple languages, you know, we have a brokerpreneur who speaks mm-hmm. multiple languages, mm-hmm. and that might be, that's a cool conversation that I want to have with her maybe on one of our masterminds.
Yeah.
All right, so... you know, looking at this,
mm-hmm.
you've talked about, okay, if you're sticking around, the real estate market is, you know, becoming more global,
mm-hmm.
right? Technologies makes everything global, right? Essentially. Then we talked a little bit about, okay, well, here are some of the places that you can go and grab some information,
mm-hmm.
right? If we're coming to the realization as a listener or a broker that, okay, I'm going to need to start looking at this maybe at a larger picture, and I have it in the past, but now I'm going to go to these places like Matt has talked about, and I'm going to read, you know, a few articles and watch some YouTube content, maybe that kind of thing. You talk a lot about... When we're talking about just the market in general, about finding a thread,
mm-hmm.
man, from a global standpoint, you know, you're probably looking like for a rope.
Yeah.
Right. How do you look? Cause if you look at all these things, cause the world is, even though they say it's a small world, it's a pretty big place.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at, you know, global statistics and then find a thread, to talk about?
You don't need to worry about the whole world, okay? And here's what I mean by that. So if you start to look at things globally and you're like I just said just a minute ago, right? There was, you know, maybe I wanted to focus on Canadians coming here.
Yeah.
Right? So when I first moved to Tampa, the Canadian dollar was really strong.
Okay.
And so people could cash out, refinance where they were at or sell their house where they're at, and they could come here and buy a lot more house, right?
Gotcha.
And so, you know, at that point, what I'd want to do is I'd want to look around my office or look around more so the marketplace that I'm in and see who was dealing in that market already.
Yeah.
And once I figure out who's dealing in that market already, I'm going to call them up and I'm going to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm, you know, you can come clean and say, listen, I'm trying to be more global in my perspective here. I notice that you do a lot of business, it seems, in people that are in this, that are coming from this country to coming here. And what I mean by that is, like Canadians as an example, and I'm just going to stick with that because it makes it very easy to you know, relay this. You know, they were moving to a lot of the same areas, meaning that they were moving into certain 55 plus communities and moving, they were moving into, you know, condos, and they were buying a lot of second homes, and they wanted to be really close to water. It seemed there was a lot of that happening. Well, you go and you look and you see who's doing well in that market, and then you reach out to them and say, hey, have you noticed that there's been a lot of this going on? And they're like, yeah, that's a lot of my buyers and sellers. And say, well, hey, look, what I'd love to do is, as a broker, you know, I'd love for you to come on board with us.
Right.
What do you need from me to do more business that way?
Yeah.
I've got some information I can get, and I've got some support, and we can help translate things, and we can this and we can that. If you're going to do a certain amount of business, I'd love to support being able to do a certain amount of business. So let's say that I, get a hold of that community, those Canadians coming in, which we did, right? Well, at the same time, I also had somebody in my office that was Polish, first generation Polish. She did really well in the market that she was in. So I went to her and said, hey, how can we do more business there? And she's like, I'm already really busy. And I said, well, what if we get you some help? And so we found an agent that moved on to her team that was going to help her with her business. That business expanded because of that. And when that person decided they didn't want to work as hard, I already had the exit plan in place. So that office was not going to fall off production-wise because the person that was that connection was no longer in that office.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
Absolutely, because then I lose that quote-unquote global market. So I had three or four buckets in my office of different people that were approaching different things. And the cool thing was I could have a conversation with some of them and say, hey, this person's doing this over here, and this person's doing this over here. Do you need some of those same types of resources? Because now we were sharing ideas, and some of it didn't culturally match, but some of it did.
Yeah.
And so that made certain things easier. A big part of that was social posting. What type of social posting was going out made a huge difference.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you brought up a great point there. And I want to dive a little bit deeper into it. So let's say I have, you know, I'm a broker and I've got 20 agents, mm-hmm. right? Most of them, you know, deal locally, you know, their neighborhoods, you know, maybe they sell all around the city that they're in. But you have these two agents, and, you know, they form a team and they say, gosh, we really want to do some things in Canada, right? Like maybe we're from Canada and we want that connection. And then that kind of takes off and, you know, you start thinking, man, this is really cool.
Right.
Right. And, you know, you start learning a little bit more about it. And then just like we talked about with the other agent, maybe they find this other brokerage that's like everybody does, you know, mm-hmm. everything in Canada, and they leave. How do you, number one, if you've been marketing for them that, hey, we help, you know,
yeah, you're not going to market. You're not going to market for them.
Yeah, I guess that's what. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. But let's say they've marketed for themselves, but they've associated your brand to it because mm-hmm. they have to.
Right.
And now they're gone.
Right.
But then because they've seen that, you know, maybe people still come to your brand and they're like, hey, this. And you're like,
yeah, I don't speak Polish.
Yeah, like what do I?
Right. Nobody here speaks Polish. Yeah,
like
yeah.
there's a danger in there's a not a danger like to hey don't do this if you're interested in it. There's a danger there, and how does someone overcome that as a broker, or do they just like try and recruit somebody else that's in a similar position, or you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be the best scenario for that is that you don't lose that original group, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
best scenario for 100%. That. Right. Okay. The other thing that you have to do is you have to be in part responsible for the growth of that. They have to see that if they're not there with you, that they're not going to have the same level of success.
Right.
If you just hire them and say, go get them Tiger, then absolutely there's a chance that somebody else is going to come along and say, hey, I can support it this way, and you're going to do more and whatever, or you're going to do better, or you're going to do it easier, or whatever it is, and you're going to lose them to that. Okay, absolutely, that's the case. But you notice I didn't lose any of those teams. Okay. And the reason why is because I tried to stay very much in tune with what they needed and help them leverage the things that they needed so that it made it more difficult for them to leave.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I also didn't go out and hire against them. So the people that were dealing in those certain areas, I didn't go out and try to hire more people that were doing the same exact thing and have somebody that competed head to head with them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I would do is I would stay close to them and say, hey, is your business getting to a certain point where you need some more help? Because I'm going to go try to find somebody else. And then I would go to places where I could see where they spoke the language, like MLS and stuff like that. And certain websites, you can see who speaks different languages. And then I would reach out to those people that spoke those languages and have a conversation with them about their background to see if they would be a good fit or not. And I wouldn't say, hey, look, I'm calling you because these people are busy and they might need some help soon. I would just call and say, hey, listen, I want to do more business in a more global way. You know, I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with you, have a good conversation with them. And I'm like, you know what, we might be able to kind of team you up like this. But if they were not a good fit, then I wouldn't, I would just kind of keep that in my back pocket.
Yeah.
And so if those other people would have left, then those people that I had in quote unquote my back pocket, absolutely I would have approached them and said, hey, we generated a lot of business and a lot of opportunity for these people here, and our brand is in part associated with that. Would you like to step into that? That's what I would have done at that point if that situation would have arose. But I did not go out and try to create that competition between them.
Yeah, that's
that. Now, that other people might be completely okay with that. That's just not how I did it.
Yeah, I like that. I would have done it the exact same way.
I would have rather had 10 or 15 people dealing with different groups and having them come in and truly be more global than have five different groups that were all fighting over the same exact, you know, the same exact thing. Because what's going to happen is those five groups that are fighting over the same exact thing, when they think somebody else is getting their unfair share, what are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to leave. Yeah.
And so... Yeah, you know, you've talked, and again, we're running right short on time here, but I think this is really cool, and it'll be the last point I make. You've talked to me. I have in my office. I have a contract specialist and a tech specialist and that kind of thing. You could even say, like, you know, hey, you are my, you know, Canadian market specialist. That'd be another retention tactic.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, keeping that person there if they're crucial to your business, to just almost give them like a promotion, like, you know,
right,
I'm counting on you for this because you're special and that kind of thing.
Right. So, absolutely.
Matt, anything else you want to add?
Yeah. So make sure that you're sharing the wins of this, and make sure, more importantly, that they're sharing the wins.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you start to, you know, there's nothing more powerful if you're trying to reach into a certain community and be more global. There's nothing more powerful than someone speaking the native language, talking about how much they enjoy doing a transaction with your people.
Yeah.
That's the kind of social post video that you want out there, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody's, you know, if somebody is Polish and they're using an agent that's a Polish agent as an example, then man, absolutely have them talk in Polish to each other and post that on social media. 100% you want that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, guys.
You know, respect the culture, in other words.
Yes, of course. Guys, we don't speak Polish. Nope. But if you speak Polish and you speak English, then click on that link in the button below to come to Brokerpreneur Not So Secret Society this Friday. And because we would love to meet you, learn a little bit more about your business, talk brokerage growth. There's a bunch of different brokers on there every single Friday. We have a really good time. It is absolutely free, and we're only talking about recruiting, retention, agent productivity. Promise you won't be sold anything on that call. It's just a lot of fun, and we do it for one reason alone. Tell them what it is, Matt.
Man, we just want to be part of your win.